The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Bite by Bite. He is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, doing a fantastic job down there in Montgomery, covering 35 counties in the great state of Alabama and helping people who are hungry. And that goes for vets, it goes for older people, it goes for special needs, it just goes for everybody.
College kids,
you name it. It is a real need. That's going on right now, particularly in the world. And as I see, I'm looking up at the TV on my right, and I'm seeing the people in Kiev, and I'm seeing what's going on in other parts of the country where, you know, it's not only they can't afford food, they can't find food, certainly more now than ever. And we just saw the world get together for the Olympics, which, you know, is a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful time. For a brief moment in time, we can actually kind of forget about those things. But that's not always a good thing. So anyway, but information comes at us high and heavy on this particular Bite by Bite. What do you have, man?
Well, again, we keep this pretty short, and it's just for people who may be interested in the insights of food banking. It's becoming a field that, as we get more and more into where society is dependent upon the food bank, government, you're going to see a lot of public-private partnerships. But inside of the food banking network, there's a huge variance of opinions and thoughts, just how they all over our country. And of course, it's not much different than you see in real life. The South and the Southeast tend to be a little bit more conservative in their thinking collectively. In the Northwest and in the far Northeast, you see where they kind of just view things a little bit differently. And it's not a, you know, it's not a right or wrong. It's just interesting. When we come together, like for our annual conferences, or there's a fall forum or just the CEO conference in the October, you know, we're sitting down discussing some of these ideas. And I'm reminded of one great example of that is the largest food program that the USDA overseas. It's called TFAP, and it stands for the Emergency Food Assistance Program. And we get shipments of TFAP, and they're just USDA commodities that they buy direct from the farmers. It benefits farmers. A lot of people just know it. A good example would be like people used to grow up and get this block cheese and something that people can look back on and tell, yeah, I used to remember the block cheese, or my neighbor got the block cheese or whatever. But it's that program's been around a long time, and it's designed to not only help farmers, but also make sure people in going through severe challenges and things like that can have enough to eat. And it's made it, the USDA has made it pretty easy. What they do is there's a one-page form, because the challenge with doing USDA food is it has to be distributed out to an individual, and you have to verify that that individual qualifies for that. So we give it to a pantry, then the individuals come to that pantry, and then the pantry says, okay, I have to have your name and an address, and what you have to put on here's, and then it'll have a poverty chart. It'll say, like, if you're a single household with three kids, do you make above or below this? And all they have to do is sign the form that says, I make below that amount. You don't, in most places, you don't have to, like, prove that you're unemployed. Now, that was not always the case. And many years ago, I was associated with a pantry, and we had to prove, you know, I had to have something like, do you have an unemployment check, or do you have something that shows you, you know, it was almost like the old unemployment office. You had to prove you're trying to get work or whatever. And I think some people made some good points. It's very degrading to have to prove that you're so poor you need assistance. Mm-hmm. And so I think the whole food bank movement, even in the most conservative of circles, was like, hey, we're not here to degrade people, you know. And so the USDA came out and said, look, if they give you your name and address and verify, it's like signing an affidavit but you're just taking their name. I mean, you're just taking their word for it. There's no proof that's necessary. And so it's minimally invasive in terms of getting people's, you know, you're not taking their social security number, anything like that. However, there are people in the food banking world that do not accept TFAP from the government. And so I've read up because I want to understand all sides to an issue. And they feel like that it's too invasive, that the information asked is too invasive, or it puts people in a position to, it's too degrading, you know? And so they just absolutely turn it down. Now, you might be, you might have resources to where you could turn down truckloads of food.
Yeah.
We're, the vast majority of food banks are not like that. We're very appreciative for what the USDA does through the TFAP program. It not only supplies us food, but they give us dollars to store and distribute that food in a responsible way. But it just goes to show you it's politics, or kind of where we are in our political movement. You don't even get away from that in something like handing food out, because if you look at, to me, it's a very interesting dynamic where California for the last few years has been saying, you have to let people be homeless on the street. You have to do the homeless encampments. They would give them, or they were putting them in, the city was putting them in hotels, or the state, whatever. It just seemed they're bent over backwards. And now Gavin Newsom comes out after the court thing that says, well, we don't have to do that. And it was interesting because it was never presented as a legal argument. It was always presented as, well, let's be compassionate. And let's. And then they've practically destroyed some of these cities, certainly in San Francisco. And now he comes down and he's put this mandate that you must clear out. There can be no more homeless encampments and all that. Just seems like a real radical change. But I said all that to say, when dealing with people who need assistance, whether it's through mental health, whether it's they just need a temporary little boost or whatever it is, you know, I am 100%. My perspective is everybody needs to be treated with dignity and everybody needs to be treated with respect. When somebody comes up, one of the things, what we try to do is train our agencies that when somebody comes up, doesn't matter if they drove, what vehicle they drove up in or how they got there or whatever else, you treat them with respect, you welcome them, because I personally don't want somebody who feels degraded and needs food to go, well, I'm not going back up there. That was hard. That was embarrassing. So I feel like we need to lift people up, but the idea of even being so concerned about somebody's, you know, name and all they have to say is, look, I don't have enough. And to put that down that somehow that's too sensitive of a nature to even go that far, puts us right back in the realm of just letting homeless people stay in your city.
Yeah.
And I just think the vast majority of people say, look, I think the vast majority of people, if you were asked them, are you glad the USDA provides food supplements to the poor through the food banking system? I think that would be a high percentage that says yes. But most citizens would say, regardless, political left, political right, would say yes. There has to be common sense methods and procedures for accountability, and to make sure that we're maximizing the program, to make sure that it doesn't fall in the wrong hands. And sometimes you're going to have to get information. I mean, if you think about it, we do that with food stamps. If you apply for government food stamps, you have to give all your information to include your Social Security number. If you go for WIC, if you go for anything of any government assistance, you're going to have to give all that information. The vast majority of people, and I would say, when I say vast majority, I mean, seems like almost all, if you need information and you are legitimate, you're not trying to run a scam, they don't object. In other words, they don't feel degraded just because you're asking them for the information.
Yeah.
So I know this is kind of a big subject, and it's really more of a just talking about sometimes how we, it's an ongoing battle to try to balance caring for people in need, but also doing so in a respectful way, but a responsible way to the public with the tax dollars, trying to bring it all together in a way that truly lifts up those who have that need, but also being accountable for an agent of the USDA and politics and sensitivities and all of that, and how we've gotten in our society where everything is just such a delicate matter, kind of a cancel culture sensitivity. It seeps down into every aspect, and it actually makes it more difficult to really help those that need help. But it's part of a world, and we just continue to have to navigate that space and work through it no matter what's happening. But I'm thankful for the TFAP program. If people turn it down and have enough resources coming in, they don't need it, then fine, leave it all to us. And we'll turn it out to those that need it. But very, very thankful for it. And I think I'll just conclude with this. I think it is possible to serve people, to treat them with dignity and respect, while also recognizing the need for accountability in their practice and what they're doing as it relates to meeting qualifications. That's not an undignified process just to say you have to meet these qualifications in order to receive this assistance. So you have to balance it. Most of the 95% of the food banks do so masterfully, but it continues to be an ongoing challenge, making sure that the social justice warriors, if you will, out there are the defender of people sometimes who don't need defending.
I hear you. Fight the good fight, my friend. Keep doing your work, man. I know where your heart is, brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.